5FM.
WMFO, Medford. Medford.
Good morning, everybody. What's going on? This is Shukri Wright, host of the Shukri Wright Show. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tusk Free Farm Radio. Glad you can join us on this another Saturday morning, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this part of your day. We're also streaming live on the TuneIn Radio app and WMFO.org. Wherever you are, you can listen to the show live online. And this morning, we have a very special guest in studio, as a matter of fact, who is sitting here right here with me, that he is going with the sports professor, Alan himself. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. Glad to be here, even though it's at 6 o'clock on a dreary morning. But we're going to have some fun here today.
All right, I can't wait. I'm telling you, this is the first time I've had a guest in studio. And in fact, I actually want to make sure that that your mic is... Your mic should be good. Yeah. So try talking again.
Hello. I don't hear anything.
Yeah, that's weird.
I don't hear anything.
Hold that thought. Fix that real quick. Huh. Try that one.
Nothing.
No. Like switch. Yeah.
Can you hear anything here? I'm not getting anything through my headset.
In fact, I got an idea. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when you have a first live guest in studio. You're not really sure if it's coming through the radio. So there's only one way to really find out. Okay. It's a little unconventional, but don't really have a choice. But only one way to find out. So while we try to figure out this mic situation here, let's see. Oh, this is interesting.
They're not live.
Oh, man. It's fun. I'm telling you, this is one of the interesting perks about this soundboard, is that you have an idea as to which one is which, but you can't really tell, like, according to the numbers, effectively. Let's give that a shot. What number does that say? give this one a shot. All right, try talking into your radio.
This one over here. Hello, hello.
What number does that say?
You can hear you, but not me.
Give this one a shot. Right, try talking into your radio.
This one over here. Hello, hello.
What number does that say?
You can hear you, but not me.
Yeah, it works.
This one works?
Yeah.
It's working?
Yep.
I don't hear it on the headset, though.
That's weird. I don't know why. Let's figure that piece out. In fact, we're figuring it out. When we are off air, hopefully that's the right one. Like, the only way you will be able to find out is if you speak in the microphone.
Hey, how you doing?
Can you hear you?
Yeah, I think this one works.
Yeah, that should be the one. Now we're all set. Just want to make sure that you're audible and that listeners can in fact hear you and whatnot. So, so let's jump right into the fun. This is the first Saturday in the month of September, and this usually means one of two things. One, college football has already started. Two, the NFL season is fully about to kick off. We had the kickoff game on Thursday between the Bears and Packers, and frankly, that was a complete crap show.
Snooze fest.
Oh, my God. It was absolutely terrible. Like, I mean, listen, I'm ecstatic that the NFL is back. But if I'm being honest with you, Alan, before I get to my opening thoughts for the day, That was a snooze fest, and it was as bad as it was. Oh, my God. I mean, like, did you get the chance to watch some of the game at least?
I fell asleep.
I thought I was the only one. You know what? With all due respect, I
fell asleep. Football is usually exciting, and I was a boredom. That was boredom.
It was brutal to watch because I think, again, and you want to know what's hilarious, and I just thought of this now. This game was probably more boring than Super Bowl 53. Because Super Bowl 53, if you remember, it was 13-3 final, very low scoring. It was deadlock at three for most of the game. But in the Thursday night's game, it was like, there's no scoring. I know the Bears' defense is supposed to be pretty good, and they play like it, but my goodness. My goodness. You talk about an absolute snooze fest? That was? That was it. But on a serious note, a much serious note, I would be doing an absolute disservice if I didn't touch on this. I want to start off the show by saying that, number one, as you guys have gotten to know me over the last 2 months that I've been on the air, I've been fortunate to, you know, talk a lot of sports, you know, have fun and do live interviews, which we have two guests coming on this morning that will call in. Anthony Donahue, contributor to ESPN New York, will join the show at 8 a.m. And you guys may remember Tom Keegan from the Boston Herald. He's going to call in as well at 8:20. That's going to be a lot of fun, especially with this with the Patriots season opener tomorrow night down in Gillette, which I myself, yours truly, will be there. But this weekend is an important weekend in which I think for a lot of people, unfortunately, and I understand that it happens, it kind of gets lost in translation, in which that in a few days, we will be celebrating, not even celebrating, but rather commemorating, pardon me, the 18th anniversary of 9/11. And it's just crazy just to even say that. 18 years. It doesn't feel like it's been 18 years at all. And next week, Wednesday, will be 18 years since that horrific day. And one thing that I really want to do this morning on this show is that I want to specifically dedicate this show to the victims and the families of those victims of 9/11, those that died on that day. And it's only befitting, 4 days before the anniversary, that we do take time to remember that horrific day and how it forever changed our lives, and especially as sports fans, how it really made sports so insignificant for those first several days after 9/11. And with that being said, I want to make an announcement now, and I'm going to do it throughout the morning, throughout the duration of the show until 9 a.m., that on Wednesday afternoon, 9/11, this coming Wednesday, yours truly, Shukri Writes, will be doing a special 9/11 edition of the Shukri Writes Show right here on 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. From 3 p.m. to 7. From 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. this coming Wednesday, I will be doing a special edition of the Shukri Writes Show. Just remembering that day. We'll mix in some sports talk, but it will be very heavily be about 9/11 and how we came together as a nation and as a people as sports fans in the aftermath of 9/11. So that is coming up on Wednesday, this September 11th, on Wednesday from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. So if you're listening now, spread the word. If you are tuning, for those that will tune in later on, I will be talking about it. I will be bringing it up again throughout the morning, so don't worry. I'll even post it on social media, on Twitter. You can follow the show on Twitter at SWrites915. You can follow the show on Instagram at SWrites915, SWrights915. And the opening thought is just specifically in thoughts in regards to 9/11. And as I turn to my guest, the sports professor, I want to ask you, in your words, how do you think the events of 9/11 impacted you both as a citizen and as well as a sports fan? Because both worlds were heavily impacted by the events of that day. So how did it impact you?
It changed the whole way I think Americans feel. This generation had never been attacked before.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor happened before we were really born.
Yeah.
The ironic thing is 9/11, probably the students here at Tufts, the freshmen weren't even born then.
Yeah.
They weren't even born.
Which is, wow.
So this, I don't know how the students at Tufts would react, because either they weren't born or were tiny infants and don't even remember.
Yeah.
And it changed how vulnerable we became, and of course it changed the security at the airport, security everywhere. It changed the whole mindset of America.
Yeah.
It really did.
100.
We were caught with our pants down, literally, and it changed how everybody feels about everything now.
100%.
We have security clearances and all this stuff now. We never had that before.
Yeah.
You know, taking a plane now is like, oh God. You know, you dread it. It's absolutely devastating, and people still dying from the effects of the cancer or whatever they developed then.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's still affecting many families to this day. So it's changed the whole mindset of America. The only other event in my life to change the mindset of America was when President Kennedy got assassinated. That changed the mindset of America, and this was the second major event that did, I thought.
Yeah. And as a sports fan, how do you think sports helped galvanize the country in terms of helping it return to some sense of normalcy in the following days after 9/11?
Yeah, sports became unimportant for a few days, and then when the Mets came back and Piazza hit the winning homer.
Yeah, I remember that.
George Bush and everybody was there. Mm. It gave people just something to cheer about and to forget about just what happened for a couple hours. Not that you ever forget it.
Yeah.
But it let people just let loose, and Piazza became a hero just because everybody forgot about things. For he had a home run.
Yeah.
And George, President Bush was there at the time, and it was kind of like just trying to get people to think about something else.
For sure.
But it realized that sports and all this stuff is inconsequential when you look at the big picture.
Yeah. And at the time, it became very, very unimportant. And this is, for those listening now, this is just a preview of what I'm going to be talking about in great length this Wednesday afternoon from 3 p.m. to 7. And, like, I personally look forward to going back and looking through some of the archives of some clips and audio from that day, and even sports, how it was directly impacted. Because I remember, and I'm sure sports professor, you remember as well, that sports, really, especially baseball, came to a screeching halt. The NFL season, which was, it was in its infancy stage. I don't know if you remember this, but 9/11 happened literally the day after, and I remember this game particularly, the Giants and Broncos. It was Monday Night Football. It was Monday, September 10th. The Giants had just started their season. I remember this vividly. And they actually lost that game. All of that came to a screeching halt. And ultimately, I think we realized how much it impacted us and to such great depths, in which that I'll talk about in much greater detail on Wednesday. And that and much more coming up on the Shukri Wright Show special edition this Wednesday afternoon from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. right here on 91.5 WMFO Medford. But we're going to step aside for a moment. When we return, the NFL season started. And frankly, I'm pumped. Despite the NFL opening game being basically a dud, which Thursday's game was. It was essentially a dud. But I look forward to talking with you, sports professor, about the Patriots opening game tomorrow night against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which gets me excited just saying that. So we'll talk about that coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright sitting here alongside with the sports professor, Alan. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Leave me.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright sitting here with a special live in studio guest, sports professor Alan. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Tomorrow night, it's a big one. It's huge. It's Sunday Night Football. The Patriots are unveiling their sixth Super Bowl title banner at Gillette Stadium. Yours truly, I will be there. I'll be there beginning at 7 p.m. I can't wait. And there's a lot of, you know, the good old pop and circumstance that goes around with, you know, like with banner on raising ceremonies, of course. You know? So, with that being said, it's time to start looking at the game tomorrow night. And I want to start with you, the sports professor. In regards to the matchup between the Patriots and Steelers, what is something that you feel that one should look out for? Anything in particular that comes to mind?
The Steelers are going to be entirely different this year because they don't have Bell, they don't have Brown.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to expect from them because it's an entirely different team and a whole different mindset. I think Coach Tomlin's probably a lot happier.
Yeah.
Because the problem childs are gone. Although the great talent is also gone.
Mm.
And I think Tomlin might be on the hot seat. He's been there for a while. And he could get. And I have no idea what you're going to get out of Pittsburgh. The Patriots, you kind of know what you're going to get, although they don't have Gronk anymore, and that's a big loss.
Yeah.
I think we're not going to see much of Stidman, the backup quarterback, but I think he looked really good in the preseason. But, of course, preseason, you're playing against.
It's like everybody else is like second and third stringers, yeah.
Half of them are cut already, but he looked really good, enough that they got rid of Hoyer, who the Colts immediately jumped on.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you're going to get out of Pittsburgh. They could be terrible. I don't know. I mean, their big guns are all gone, and I don't know what they got. I don't know their roster well enough to know what they brought in place of Bell and Brown, but it's got to be more harmonious for them. And they have a grudge because they want to beat the Patriots all the time. And I think the last time they played, didn't Pittsburgh beat the Patriots, I believe, last year?
Yeah, last year. Like, it was a second game of a back-to-back road debacle in which that they lost in Miami on that miracle play.
Right.
and as well as Pittsburgh, where they never lose, especially in mid-late December. But that was where that was the game I remember, like where sirens were literally going off all around New England, because it was like, wait a minute, this may not be down the year. It's like, and I understood at the time. Consider this: when you look at the Patriots going into Pittsburgh historically, especially just go back even the last 15 years, like they've done very well in Pittsburgh, especially in the postseason. Now. In New England, for the Steelers, Gillette Stadium is a house of horrors. All time, I don't think Roethlisberger hasn't won a game against Brady in Gillette. All time, both regular season and postseason combined. 5-0 Brady is against Roethlisberger at Gillette Stadium. But what's interesting is that you mentioned about the loss of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. They have a running back in James Conner who's pretty good, and although he doesn't have the flash that Le'Veon Bell had, but he can still get you good yards. And he's I don't want to call him a downhill runner, but a running back that's not afraid to run towards contact and as well as find the open gap and exploit the defense. However, the one thing that stands out to me is when you talk about the Patriots in particular, and even the Pittsburgh identity, the Patriots' identity has always been, especially offensively, being efficient. Being efficient, especially with the weapons that they have, especially when you have guys, when they had Gronk, you know, a healthy Edelman. But this year, as you mentioned, as you alluded to, Gronk's gone. He's retired. It's now Edelman, who's the number one receiver right now. And you also have a Josh Gordon, who's back from suspension. You also have a Philip Dorsett. But you also have guys who have shown what they can do. But right now, there's a lot of question marks. Even Demaryius Thomas, who was released and then brought back, you don't know what you're going to get out of him, except that, okay, you saw what he did in the last preseason game against the Giants, but that's no indicator as to what he's going to do, especially now with the regular season just a little bit more than 24 hours away.
I agree with you, and I just don't think you know what you're going to get out of either of these teams. They're in transition. The Patriots are going to be obviously heavily favored. They're at home.
Mm-hmm.
They should win the game, but they have a lot of new pieces, and their big wide receiver they chose in the first round is on IR.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, they got him. So they were counting on him, and he's not going to play, I guess, for at least 8 weeks.
Yeah, until week eight, week nine, yeah.
So they're both in big transition. I think Pittsburgh even more so, because also Ben's getting older, too.
Yeah.
He's not as efficient as he used to be. It's going to be a weird game in a way, because they're both coming off changes and... Is Brady still going to be as good as ever?
Mm-hmm.
He's another year older.
Yeah, true. And especially now, like, what's interesting with the dynamic in terms of Brady is that for years, especially the last 4 or 5 years, you had David Andrews under center. But you could very much say that he's gone for the year with the blood clots in his lung, unfortunately. But, I mean, thankfully, he's okay. But he's gone for the season. So now... It's going to be Ted Karras. It's going to be under center come tomorrow night moving forward. So the question that I have, and I'm going to post this to you in just a moment, is is when you look at the offensive line for the Patriots and you think about some of the concerns that they have, especially with Brady's blind side, which right now it looks like it's going to be occupied with Isaiah Wynn at left tackle. Do you think that the offensive line could be the number one glaring weakness for the offense and not just the receiving core? What do you think?
Well, don't forget Wynn, even though he's a second-year player, he's a rookie because he never played last year.
Yeah.
This is going to be his first game, and he's in a tough spot. And so many intangibles. You don't know what you're going to get. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be much of a challenge to them, but I think when they face Kansas City or some of those other teams, that's going to be the true time.
Yeah.
this kid win. He could be good, but he's never played a game yet.
So we don't know what we're going to get out of him, essentially.
No idea. You don't have no, and the center, we don't know what we're going to get out of him.
Yeah, Tech Carroll. So he's another unknown.
You don't know. Yeah. And there's no track record to look at to see what you're going to get.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Karras in particular is that he's played 4 years and whatnot, like so far in the NFL, but the fact of the matter is this. He's a guy who, he was drafted in the sixth round, but he was signed to practice squad 2 years ago. Interestingly enough, other than the fact that he's been on a practice squad, you know, getting reps, you know, being familiar with the playbook in terms of like protections and so forth, he hasn't really started, like if barely at all. Like it's definitely going to be an interesting challenge for Dante Scarnecchia in terms of, you knew what you have in terms of the continuity with David Andrews, knowing like how to call the protection at the line of scrimmage and so forth, but in this case, you just don't know what you have. So I think what Pittsburgh is going to do, in my humble opinion, is that they're going to exploit that. They don't care. He's been in the league for a few years now, but he's inexperienced as a starter. Isaiah Wynn, as you very well mentioned, this is his second year, but he's essentially a rookie because he didn't play at all last year. So one thing that stands out to me when we talk about the Patriots, apart from Brady, what you're potentially going to see tomorrow night and so forth, is if you want him to be able to take shots down the field and so forth, you have to be able to ensure that your pass protection is going to be able to hold up, because on a defensive line for Pittsburgh, there's three guys that come to mind that you have to be worried about. That's Cameron Hayward. The other one is T.J. Watt, and also also don't forget Joe Hayden. He's not only a corner, but he could also be using a safety blitz as well. So to ask you this, when you think of Pittsburgh defensively, do you see them being the team that could get after the quarterback and that could potentially put pressure on Brady in tomorrow night's game?
If I was their defensive coordinator, I'd blitz.
That's what I was thinking.
Blitz, blitz, blitz.
Yeah.
Now, Brady's going to beat you sometimes in those blitzes.
For sure.
But I would blitz the hell out of a new offensive line. I'd blitz constantly. But I'm not the defensive coordinator. They still don't have Mean Joe Green over there either. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd blitz more if I had Mean Joe Green still around.
Or even Joey Porter, for that fact of the matter. And, you know, interestingly, when you look at Pittsburgh, you think, oh, this has got to be a year in transition. There's no Le'Veon Bell. There's no AB. Offensively, like, you wonder, like, what are they going to look like? You know, like, who's their number one? The number one threat right now, like, I mean, you still got Schuster. Always get that name twisted. Pardon me, but a guy who I think who could potentially be a wild card is James Washington. I had a chance to watch him play a handful last year, but what I saw is that, and I thought this to myself in all honesty, if something would have ever happened to AB, this guy could potentially rise to become a legitimate inside receiver who could be another threat for offensively, another offensive weapon for Pittsburgh. So now with AB officially gone, I look at James Washington. It's like, you know what? He's gonna be that guy. There's no question in my mind. But what I'm interested in is what type of leap will James Conner take this upcoming year? Because we saw last year what he can do, and he's a good running back. There's no question, but the one thing I want to ask, and I was thinking about this last night actually, is when it comes to Pittsburgh offensively, and we talked about it already earlier in this segment. There's no AB. There's no Le'Veon Bell. What do you think the identity is going to be for the Steelers offense starting tomorrow night?
I have no idea. I think Schuster's the Patriots. If they're smart, they'll double team him because he's their best weapon. He's a very good receiver.
Yeah.
I just don't know what else they have. I think they're going to have to rely more on their defense. I don't see a lot of offensive weapons there, but I don't know the Steelers that well. I haven't analyzed their roster completely. Yeah. Schuster's really, if I was Belichick, I'd say double team him the whole time.
Mm.
He's fast, too, really fast.
Absolutely. So I'll ask you this. If you were the Patriots defense, which player in the secondary would you have him, or would you have cover Schuster? Would you put a guy like a Daron Herman, or even a Stephon Gilmore, who's right now arguably your number one corner? Would you put either one of those guys, or would you put a safety to cover him? Should he decide that he's going to be used as a guy who's going to run like a down the field route?
I'd use Gilmore and the fastest other cornerback or safety I got. I got to have somebody with speed. I don't know
right.
their times in the 40 or anything that I want my other fastest person, whoever it is.
For sure, yeah.
Because Schuster can fly. He'll go right by you.
Oh, yeah.
He'll go right by you. Got to have somebody really fast and then have Gilmore with a fast defensive player with him. That's what I would do, but I'm not the coach.
Absolutely. You can feel free to call in at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. We're going to step aside for a moment. And when we return, a hot topic that came up this week, and I'm going to address it head on. Antonio Brown, what is wrong with you? Seriously? What is wrong with you, Antonio Brown? That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show with live special in-studio guest, sports professor Allen here with me. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
With me, cross the seas, believe. Come on back to the light, and come on back with me tonight, and weed me out of the crowd. You have to come down if you wanna get high. Yeah, you have to come down if you wanna get high. A mercy killing. cause I have to come down if I wanna get high. Yeah, I have to come down if I wanna get high.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright sitting here alongside with in-studio special guest, sports professor Allen. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO, Medford Touch Freeform Radio. You know what? There are a few examples in pro sports that tells me, man, what an absolute train wreck of an individual that athlete is. And I'm talking about Antonio Brown. Because, frankly, this whole situation's pissed me off. It's gotten me mad where, like, I understand that wide receivers are divas. And they act like it. But yesterday's breaking news that Antonio Brown will not be suspended by the Oakland Raiders after the antics that he pulled off posting the letter that general manager Mike Mayock sent him with the fines of him missing practices and meetings. Honestly, as a fan, I'm pissed. And I'm going to tell you why right now. The reason being is because, number one, I have never heard in my life, and the sports professor, feel absolutely free to interject, I have never seen or heard in my life that you can miss work, you can miss meetings, you can miss practice or training or whatever, and there is absolutely no consequence. It's basically like he pulled a no-call, no-show, got fined for it, didn't like it, and then goes and got into an altercation with the general manager, which, by the way, after all initial reports were indicating that he was going to be suspended, John Gruden says that he's going to play in week one. So, sports professor, I want to ask you, what's your reaction when you first heard this news?
I was shocked, and if I was Maycock, the general manager, I'd quit. Brown got in a verbal and physical confrontation with the general manager in front of the team on the field. And the general manager told him he'd be suspended. Gruden, the coach, who's also running the show there, rescinded it,
yeah,
because the agent Drew Rosenhaus informed Brown that he could potentially lose his $30 million contract. So Brown then supposedly apologized, and Gruden said you can play, but that really undercut his general manager, who said he was going to be suspended at least one game, and it shows the general manager has no power at all, that Gruden's running the show, and so is Brown running the show. And the general manager should leave and go back to ESPN, wherever he was working before. Mm-hmm. He should just—he's worthless now because he's done in front of the whole team. They know now he has no power. What he says doesn't matter. What Brown says and what Gruden says is what matters. And I hate to use the word, but the inmates are running the asylum.
And it's a shame because someone yesterday, I saw this on social media, made that very same comment, and I at first didn't know how to really take it, because the late Bob McNair used that term a couple of years ago in a very derogatory way. But in this case, it's like...
Well, Gruden's one of the inmates, in my opinion. I'm concluding him in the...
Yeah. Yeah, and which it shows to me the absolute ineptitude of the Oakland Raiders organization. Like, what baffles me is that you have a star player that Pittsburgh said, you know what, we don't want him anymore. Ship him off to the West Coast, ship him off to Oakland for God knows what, a seventh round pick or whatever. Take him. We don't want him. And then he pulls off this type of behavior. First it was the foot injury that he had with that whatever type of treatment that he was doing. I don't even care for it at the moment. That's number one. Two, the helmet. The whole helmet thing. And now this. So to me, it shows AB how much of a complete cyclist individual that you are. And two, if we're being really honest, your talent does not supersede the lack of dignity and the lack of class that you've exhibited in these last 6 weeks. It's disgusting. It's disgusting because he now follows a long list. And interestingly enough, and Sports Professor, I wanna get your thought on this. He is now part of a very interesting trend that I've noticed, especially from this past offseason. There's been two premier wide receivers in the NFL who have been traded. One, Odell Beckham Jr. The other one, A.B., Antonio Brown. What do they have in common? What do you think they have in common?
They're fools.
That's one. That's one of them.
Great talent. They're probably the two best receivers in the league.
Mm-hmm. Three.
And they're just cancers in the clubhouse.
Four. That's four legitimate points you just pointed out right there. Four. Cancers in the locker room. Two of the very best wide receivers. You can make an argument.
Best. I think they're the two.
Yeah,
best.
You can make an argument. 1 and 1A, or even 1-2, or you can flip the order. No one will be upset. But what amazes me is that in the case of Antonio Brown, is that he knows how supremely talented it is that he is. Odell Beckham Jr. knows how supremely talented he is. And what's interesting is this. And I pointed this out to Giants fans in particular a few years back. 3 years ago, in fact, and I remember this. 2016 season for the New York Giants, pretty successful one. They go 11-5. They make it to the playoffs. And I will never forget a story that took place in January 2017 when the Giants were preparing for a wild card game that weekend against Green Bay. I'll never forget this. He and several other of his teammates go down to Miami on a boating trip the week of the playoffs. And I said this then, I'm going to say it again now, even more so now, because it has everything to do with what we're talking about. You are one of the best receivers in the league. You have never played in the playoffs. And you have the absolute mindless, childish thinking that, you know, we're going to go on a boat and trip down to Miami. Yeah, whatever, no big deal. You want to know what separates you from the all-time greats in the NFL? When it's playoff time, we ain't thinking about no boating trip. We're not thinking about, oh, you know, it's about me. I. That's not what we're thinking about. No. What you're thinking about is this. This is the biggest game of our career. I've never been in the playoffs. This is your chance. And you want to know what's interesting, Sports Professor? He hasn't been back in the playoffs since. Not as of yet. We'll see how he does in Cleveland, but as it turns out, Antonio Brown, oh my God, you have to be thinking, this is not going to be the last that we've seen Antonio Brown act out with the Oakland Raiders. There's no way. Now we're starting to see why he was taken out. So my question to you is this, in terms of Antonio Brown, if he was available for trade, would you want the Patriots going after Antonio Brown and have him on your team? Yes or no?
No.
And what's your reason?
Even though Belichick has taken in some reclamation projects like Corey Dillon and
oh, I remember Corey Dillon very well, yeah.
Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
He's done pretty well with them, but don't forget they only stayed here about a year or so. He didn't keep him long.
Yeah.
I wouldn't take Brown if you gave him to me for free. No.
Really?
Wouldn't take him.
Huh.
And it's kind of funny that he and Beckham, I think, are the two best receivers.
Yeah.
They both got traded, and they didn't get a lot for them. That tells you something right there.
Yeah.
They, you know, players of that caliber, you think we get two or three number one draft picks for them.
Not even close.
And it tells you something there that they're even though the talent's there, they didn't get very much for them.
You know what's interesting? The Giants, in the Odell Beckham trade that happened back in March, they got back Jabril Peppers, the safety, but they didn't get back like much, if any, like first round picks at all.
Because he's worth
that, like a couple first round picks.
Both of them are. Talent wise, for sure.
At 100%.
They didn't get it.
No. What does that tell you in terms of if you were a talent evaluator?
The problems, the bad attitude, people, some coaches and teams just don't want to take it on. They don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't want to deal with it. I wouldn't touch him.
I personally.
Especially at $30 million he's getting, too.
Oh, man.
Please.
And it's interesting, because I was thinking about this yesterday as I was making my way to the Yankees-Red Sox game last night, I was going to talk Red Sox during the next hour. And the one topic that came up was, if you're the Patriots, would you maybe take a flyer on Antonio Brown? I said to myself, you know, right now I understand the concerns the Patriots have at the wide receiver position, and they are legitimate concerns. Because even right now with Edelman, he's still got question marks, especially with the thumb injury that he has. Everybody else, question mark. Demaryius Thomas, question mark. Philip Dorsett, question mark. You was hoping that Braxton Berrios was going to work out, but he didn't. He got cut. So now you have legitimate question marks at that position right now on the offense. And a guy like Antonio Brown, who's an all-pro receiver, no question, the best receiver in the league, arguably alongside with Odell Beckham Jr. And yet I'm hearing Patriot fans are saying, no, I wouldn't want him. Personally, I was thinking, yeah, maybe, but now I'm like, I don't know. I understand, listen, we had Randy Moss. And he was here for four seasons. You had one of the most, if not the most lethal offense in NFL history when you had that one in 07, that 2007 season, which I remember. You scored the most points by any team in NFL history in a single year with Moss. But what was Moss's problem? And I know, and I'm sure as you can recall, what was his problem? His problem was attitude, mind, more than anything else, not talent, because he's in the Hall of Fame now, so it was never about talent, attitude, and his mind. And it's so fascinating that when you talk about receivers, some of the best receivers to play in the league, there's, in large part, all of them had some type of attitude problem. And I want to ramble through this list real quick. Odell Beckham Jr., that's one. Antonio Brown, another one. Remember Steve Smith when he played in the league? He used to play with the Carolina Panthers for years? Attitude. That's three. And then not to mention, another one that comes to mind, Chris Carter in his early years with the Philadelphia Eagles. Attitude problem. Part of the reason why he got traded to Minnesota. Terrell Owens, another one that comes to mind. And what's hilarious is that a couple of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Terrell Owens, Chris Carter, and Randy Moss being the other one. And you brought up an interesting question that I didn't think too much of. But I want to bring it up as a general point of discussion here. What is it about elite receivers that they seem to have this attitude problem? What do you think it is?
I guess because they've been talented, and since high school they've been catered to. Oh, you're the star of the team. And Now you had some players that didn't have that attitude. The Colts have had a couple of big ones with Harrison and T.Y. Hilton and stuff that have no attitude at all.
Yeah.
But a lot of these guys, I guess they've been catered to since they were 12, and they think, you know, they're better than everybody. Well, they are.
Talent-wise.
They are. There's no question they are better than everybody.
Yeah.
But just shut up and play. That's my philosophy. Just shut up and play.
Yeah.
And put the ball down in the end zone when you score and don't have to do a dance and shake your butt around and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Just put the ball down and walk away.
And I know it sounds a little easier said than done, and I'm actually in agreement with you. But with these receivers, like now that the league has started allowing touchdown celebrations again and so forth, I feel like it's only emboldened some of these receivers to really take it a step further. Because you think about Odell Beckham Jr. when he did infamously a couple of years ago with the imitation of the peeing dog in the end zone, which was completely classless. And dare I remind you of what Randy Moss did in Green Bay about 15 years ago? Mooning Packers fans. I'm sure you remember when it happened. Like, I'm laughing because at the time, like, it was hilarious, but it created, oh God. I didn't ask for that at all. Ladies, I mean, I didn't ask to be moon, but like,
you brought it up. You're not gonna keep me down forever here.
I'm not trying to, but it's one of those things where, when it happened, it was like, oh my God, how could you? But what's interesting is that social media at the time wasn't in 2004 what it is now. So if Randy Moss did what he did back then, now, oh my God. Overnight sensation, or almost immediately, instantaneously. So I just think that if you're the Patriots, please do yourself this favor. Do not even think about going after Antonio Brown. Just don't. Don't do it. I understand the thought of some fans are like, well, maybe perhaps they should, because, you know, we did it with Randy Moss and it worked out.